Good morning.
Good morning.
The psalmist wrote, "Praise the Lord, you that fear him and stand in awe." Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this Sabbath day? I don't know if this is your first time for the week to be out due to the inclement weather or if you've been out every day, but either way, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. May you all be blessed this day. We're going to take a few housekeeping details here. If you have your program, your bulletin, and like to follow along, there's a list of announcements. As you know, today is the second Sunday in Lent, and we will be continuing in our sermon series this morning as Dr. Brown brings us the next in Luke. He's going to be talking about character, the inner fiber of a man, which should be very interesting following his admission last week of a criminal record of driving. If you were here, you remember that. So this should be very interesting to hear this morning, and I'm sure we'll be blessed in it. We did appreciate his confession and mea culpa, and just know that your confession is safe between you and us, and it'll never go further than that. But we're looking forward to hearing that this morning. In 5 weeks, as you know, we'll be celebrating Easter Sunday. That means in 4 weeks we have Palm Sunday, and the choir always has a very special program. I'm told it's not a cantata this year, but it's close to it. It's a series, a medley of great hymns, and so plan to be here on March the 29th. That's in 4 weeks. I know based on the weather, some of you may cheer the fact that in 20 days, spring begins. I know somebody who will back there. And in 2 weeks, on Saturday, March the 14th, we're planning a spring cleanup here at the church. And even though it's not spring yet, on the 14th, we're getting ready for that. So that'll be from about 9:30 to noon or so. If you'd like to participate, volunteers are certainly welcome. And come and help get the church spruced up. Very important announcement. Next week, we spring forward. Daylight saving time begins next week. Now, I know some people who really dread that and do not like it, and others cheer it on and they love it. But either way, it affects all of us. And so remember next week to spring forward, daylight savings time. The newsletter is printed, the new newsletter, and you'll find yours if you haven't already picked it up in the back of the church. So be sure and pick that up today. I believe that's all of the announcements that I have. We will continue now with our choral intro today. The words of the call to worship are printed in your service bulletin this morning. You may follow along. I'm going to read them aloud. Following that, we'll have two opening hymns this morning, and those words are printed as well. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Let us stand together as we sing our opening hymn this morning. Revive us again. Let us stand and worship God together.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus, thine end is now gone. Find the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of thine, who showed us the Savior and standard our life.
Heavenly Father, do thank you for this hour that you have provided for us today, an hour that we can gather together, an hour that we can put our focus on you, an hour we can understand in a greater way your marvelous love for us, how you desire, Lord, to lift us up and place us on solid ground, an hour, Lord, that we can reflect back on the life of Jesus Christ here on this earth, a time, Lord, that we can reflect on the sacrifice that he provided on our behalf to pay the debt that we could not pay, to allow us to stand here today as a forgiven people because of the forgiveness that is provided through that cross. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for each person that is part of this worship service this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit might touch each life, that you might transform us by the renewing of our minds, that you might equip us, Lord, for every good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our responsive scripture reading this morning is printed in your service bulletin. If you'd reach for it, you're going to be a part of this. We're going to read responsively. This is the second Sunday in Lent, and many of these verses now apply to that as we seek to walk before Him and be in preparation. Let us read responsively. I'll begin. On this second Sunday of Lent, we reflect on the character of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him.
May we persevere under the trials we face in our life. May our trials reveal our true character.
We know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything.
May we stand strong in the midst of trial. Please, Lord, transform us by the renewing of our mind, allowing us to cast off the sin that hinders and run the race marked out for us.
Lord, help us to do our best to present ourselves to God as those approved. May we be workmen who are not ashamed, who correctly apply the word of truth.
May the Lord add his blessing to this hearing and this reading of this portion of his holy word. may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning, the words are printed in your service bulletin, also in the Bible you may have brought or in the Pew Bible. As you know, we're in this sermon series in Luke in the last week and this week, we're in the midst of a trial. I don't know what it is about the American public that likes a trial so much, lawyers and trials and everything. I guess we watched Perry Mason and Matlock so long that we got hooked on that. And years ago, it was the O.J. Simpson trial, and most recently, the trials in Stephenville and Kaufman. But here we are in the midst of a trial in this scripture. And the chief priests and elders, the religious leaders of the day, have brought Jesus to trial. They've arrested him and brought him to trial. And the very people who should be supporting him are spiritually blind. They don't see who it is that's in front of them. So our words today start after Jesus has been arrested from Luke 23, the first seven verses. Hear now, this is the word of God. Then the whole assembly rose and led him, Jesus, off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, it's great to be with people again, as we even enjoyed the winter weather this past week. It was both a great opportunity for me to remember why I enjoy living in Dallas, because this would be like a normal April week for us up in Michigan. But this morning, as we have opportunity to interact with God's Word, we are in the midst of looking at four different trials. Last week, we saw the trial before Herod, and we looked and focused on his prejudice. He prejudged Jesus, and now this morning we're going to go before Pilate and see the first of the two trials before Pilate, and we are going to focus on character, the value of character. Next Sunday, we will take a look at bullying as Jesus goes before Herod, and then we're going to have a snapshot of grace as we see Pilate issue a death sentence on Jesus while releasing one who is worthy of death, Barabbas. And we are slowly working our way toward the end of Christ's earthly ministry, the cross that is so much of a focus in his life. But this morning we're going to look at the events that took place before Pilate. And Pilate was the Roman governor appointed by Tiberius, the head of the Roman government in Rome. He was known for not having any passion for the people of Israel. He relentlessly pursued Roman authority. He didn't give a hoot about who the Jews were. All he wanted to do was to make sure there was no rebellion or unrest, because if that were to happen, he wouldn't look good. And so he did everything in his power to make himself look good. Now, Jesus had just appeared to the council of the Jews, the high priests, and the teachers of the law, and they had no authority to kill Jesus, even though the law in their mind says that if someone commits blasphemy, they should be put to death. Well, Rome didn't give the Jews any authority to exercise capital punishment. They didn't have that authority, so they needed to get the Roman government involved. And so they took him off to Pilate. And they made some accusations against Jesus. And the accusation was basically, he's subverting the nation. He's causing you trouble, Pilate. So all of a sudden, these religious leaders were interested in national politics because they wanted to get rid of Jesus. And this would have impressed Pilate. It would have interested Pilate because, again, Pilate was only interested in keeping peace in the realm where he served as governor. And so they said that they have found this man subverting the nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Christ, the king. Now, Pilate really didn't care much about his claim to be Christ. He didn't care too much, actually, about his claim of paying taxes. In fact, this accusation we know was false because they had tried to get Christ earlier in his ministry. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And he said, give me a denarius, give me a coin. And they said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And then Christ said, well, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and render unto God the things which are God's. And so he says, Caesar can have all the money that he mints. Paying taxes is not an issue, but it's whose image is stamped on us is the true issue. So Pilate wasn't interested too much in that, but what he was interested was in his claim, or the accusation of the claim, that he was king. Now, the title Christ, where it says he claims to be Christ, a king, the title Christ is the Greek equivalent to the word Messiah, the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. Now, we can go back a little bit into Jewish history. We won't go back real far. We'll go back maybe 200 years to when the Greeks ruled over Israel. There was a revolt against the Greeks, as covered for us in the apocryphal books, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. And the Maccabean revolt kind of pushed the Greeks out of Jerusalem. And they established the Hasmonean dynasty in Jerusalem. And this lasted until Rome came in and overthrew the Hasmonean dynasty and put into power the Herodian dynasty. They put into authority over Jerusalem the families that we know as the Herods. And they were not the true kingdom line, but Herod the Great, the first Herod, was a friend of the influential man in Rome, and so they entered into agreement with him, and they put him as the king of the Jews. Now, Herod knew, and Rome knew. In fact, everyone knew that Herod was not the legitimate king. But he was placed there because Rome knew that they could control him. And so we have the account of the birth of Christ when Herod the Great, we're going to go into more of this next week, when Jesus appears before Herod's son at his trial. But he was very insecure in his position because even though he was appointed king by Rome, he knew he did not rightly hold that title. And when the wise men came at the birth of Christ, looking for the true king of the Jews, that caused great concern on that first Herod the Great. And so there was a real question of a legitimate king being raised up, which if people were to follow a legitimate king, then that would cause Pilate to lose his authority over the people of Israel. And so this concerned Pilate. And so Pilate asked Jesus the question, very simple question, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king? Think about yourself asking Jesus that question. Are you the king of my life? Are you the king? Notice Jesus' response. Yes, it is as you say. The ESV says, you have said so. Are you the king? Well, it is whatever you say. You see, as we think of Jesus being the king, what he's actually saying is, I am king if you say so. I am king if you say that I am the king. For a king has a title, but he only governs or only rules over people who submit to his authority. I don't know if any of you can name for me the last king over our country. George. King George III. It's very interesting that our first president also had a name, George. So they went from one George to another George. But one was a king and one was a president. Now, perhaps you all have memorized the Declaration of Independence. You know, we know the first part of it, that we have quote about our rights. But at the end of that, they make their final conclusion on the Declaration of Independence, and they say that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And what those colonists were saying to George III, even though you are the king of Great Britain, you are no longer our king. They rejected him as king. So was he still king over those people? No, because they rejected his authority. And so when Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus' response, well, it is whatever you say. If you say I am, then I am. If you say I'm not, or if the people of the Jews say that I'm not, then I'm not. You see, it doesn't change Christ's identity, but it changes his ability to sovereignly rule and govern the people. Actually, when Pilate and Jesus interacted again, this question comes up again in John chapter 18. Jesus interacts with Pilate on this very same issue, and basically in his conversations, we read in John 18, Jesus says, actually, I am the king, but my kingdom is not of this world. If I wanted to, he says, my servants would fight and they would rise up an army and they could actually defeat Rome. But my kingdom is from another place. My kingdom is not political. My kingdom is not geographical. My kingdom takes place in a realm that you do not see now. My kingdom takes place in the hearts of men and women. What really is on trial here is Christ's character. Character, and I read this definition, is the inherent complex of attributes that determines a person's moral and ethical actions and reactions. Our character determines what we do. And so Christ's character here was on trial. Was he guilty of something deserving of death or not? Is he the king? Is he the king? And actually, you know, we ask this question every day of our lives. Let me ask you that question. Is Christ the king? If you answer yes, then he has sovereign rule over your life. If you answer no, then you have, or something else has, sovereign control over your life. That's the focus of the nature of our character, our inner man that defines our true identity. And so Pilate looks into the eyes of Jesus and he finds no guilt. And so Pilate's verdict was, I find no charge against this man. Now this upset the council of the Jews that had brought Jesus before him, and they insisted and they said, he stirs up trouble, Pilate. And this got Pilate's attention. All over Judea by his teaching, he started in Galilee, he's worked his way all the way to Jerusalem, and he's going to cause all havoc in your realm. So Pilate realizes that he's from Galilee, and Galilee is under the control of Herod. One of the sons of Herod the Great had that part of the kingdom given to him as tetrarch. And so Herod said, okay, he's from Galilee, I'll send him to Herod. And Herod can take control of this. And we'll look at that trial next week. In a moment, we're going to see how all this comes together in our lives and how we ask the question ourselves, is Jesus our king? And how does that answer influence or impact the character of the person that we are? But before we do that, let's sing this next hymn that's printed for us in our bulletin and prepare to receive the offering. For the ushers, the offering plates are up here if you're looking for them. And then after we come back together, we'll apply this because I think it's really important for us to see how our inner character is determined by if we've declared independence or if we are dependent on our King.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is high. Ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song that sings on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. I'll build my throne. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's on higher ground. Be seated, please.
Amen. That's a good saying. The Lord has told us by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Let us look unto the Lord now in prayer. In praise and thanksgiving, Lord, we offer our tithe, our seed, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto thy hand. And it's in Christ our Redeemer that we pray. Amen.
So our Lord stood before Pilate, and Pilate didn't have a whole lot of interest in who Jesus Christ was. He wasn't a person that was a God-fearing man. Yet he looked at Christ, and he tried to act with justice, and he found no guilt in the man. He looked at his character, and he saw one that was not worthy of being put to death, even though that was the outcry of the people. And in all the trials that Jesus goes through, and as we look at these four trials, in this second trial before Pilate, we actually see a man standing before authority guiltless. There is no reason for Christ to die, because Pilate looked into the very character of the man. The reality is that we all have Christ stand before us, and we stand before one another, and we are in relationship with God through Christ, or we are in relationship with each other. And healthy relationships are only found when there is an awareness of the person's true character. Pilate saw in Jesus his true character, and he found no fault. And yet, because of our self-protection, we hide our true character. We don't share with one another who we truly are because we truly fear rejection. If I truly reveal to you who I truly am, will you still like me? I made one small comment of being pulled over by doing an illegal U-turn, and Robert harasses me the following Sunday. And so what we do on Sunday morning, isn't it, we come to church and we say, hey, how you doing? And we respond, oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. We become afraid that if people truly knew who we are, they would not like us. They would not accept us. They would reject us. And so we put a facade. We put on a mask. We protect ourselves. And yet, in order to draw close in relationship with each other and also with God, we need to be willing to reveal our true character. Because also we hide our imperfections from God, don't we? We hide our imperfections from each other and from God because we are sinful people. We're self-centered. And because we are self-centered, we don't want to allow someone else to step into our life and to take a good look at us. But the reality is that our true character will always win out. Those secret sins that we do eventually become exposed. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. We are held back by our sinful character. We actually become dependent on our sinful character when God says, come to me and become dependent on me. But we are born in this world independent from God. And God says, I want you to come and become dependent on me. It is only then that we are transformed by the renewing and the transformation of our character. We are born again. We get that spiritual rebirth when we declare our dependence on God. When we say to God, you are my King. You are my Lord. Not just because that's who you are in reality, but that's who you are in relationship that I have with you. And the gospel graciously received is what transforms our character. It's interesting, as I have studied in the area of counseling, if any of you have been to a counselor because you have an issue or a problem in your life, you go to that person and you say to that person, I want you to help me understand what's going on. I want you to help me change. Because I don't like who I am, or I don't like this issue I'm dealing with. But the best that counselor can do is help you externally. They can say, well, you know, consider changing your thoughts on this, or consider doing that, or perhaps I'll prescribe this medication that will help you here or help you there. And those are all really external things to transform us or to change us or to control us from without. That's the whole purpose of the law, isn't it? It's external control. It's the law that controls us on the outside. But true change takes place, true transformation takes place when we are changed on the inside, when we don't say, I want to be independent from God, but I want to be dependent on God. And that's what's pictured here at this table. A table that says Jesus Christ loves us so much that he came and he lived, but more importantly, he died for us. He died so that we can depend on him to be transformed within and to live that life that we all desire to live. This morning, as we gather around this table, Jesus asks us, am I your King? He knows who he is, but he asks us in a very personal way, am I your King? If we say yes, then we will submit to him willingly and lovingly. Long live the King! And if we say no, then we're in rebellion against the King. We're declaring our independence. And you know what happened when those colonists met in Philadelphia and signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776? war broke out. And that very same thing happens in our life spiritually. We declare our independence from our true King. As we gather around this table this morning, let us remind ourselves that we are truly dependent on the King. And He is the only one that can transform us from within and give us that life that we so urgently desire. As we humble ourselves now and just prepare to take these elements, a couple of prayer requests, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. I understand that Lynn Frank was in the hospital this past week, and it was a very challenging week for her. She's back home now, but we encourage you to keep Lynn in your prayers. Florence Hedges is in Baylor Hospital in Plano. She's been in there for a couple weeks with congestive heart failure. The family called on Friday, and we were up visiting our daughter on Friday and asked if we could stop in, and I stopped in and visited with the family in Florence. She's been placed on hospice, and she probably will not live much longer. She's being kept just comfortable right now. But we encourage you to keep her family. They're all kind of there, and she has a large family gathered together. But keep Florence in your prayers. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, as we gather here, we realize that in many ways we are so very independent. We look at your word through our eyes, and we interpret your scripture through what we feel and what we think, and we do what we want to do, and we even come to you and pray, asking you to do what we want you to do, and yet, Lord, that's not how one treats a king. We thank you today that you are the King, and we pray, Lord, that you might help us understand what that means as we give up our independence and learn how to live dependently on you. Part of that dependence is facing the challenges of this world, the physical ailment, the personal struggles, the emotional tensions, the frustrations, even slippery roads, and realizing that you are sovereign, you are in control. We pray, Lord, for those that we know that are facing those struggles today, those that are gathered here, Lord, that find their character has caused some great disruption in their life. We thank you that you are a God who transforms our character. We pray today, Lord, for Florence Hedges. We know, Lord, that you are soon going to carry her into your presence. We pray, Lord, for these last days of her life, her family that's gathered together, you will bless them and encourage and comfort them. We pray, Lord, for Lynn Frank and just the ongoing struggle she has with this wound in her leg that does not heal. We pray, Lord, that you will heal that you will restore her back to better health. We are mindful, Lord, of others who may be struggling right now. We thank you, Lord, for the work that goes on in your church around the world. And we pray, Lord, for the missionaries that have been sent out. We pray for the Sullivans today as they continue, Lord, to serve you. As we gather here, Lord, we are mindful of this table set before us this morning. The bread, where you say that is your body, the cup, which is your blood, the life that you live, the blood that you shed, so that we can pray, that we can have that hope when we breathe our last breath on this earth, that we are ushered into your presence by your gracious gift, by your forgiveness offered to us on that cross as we receive that gift. Today, Lord, we come before you, and we just want you to have your way in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. divine.
Let me see. I invite you now to come to this table, a table that was instituted at the Last Supper our Lord had with his disciples on that Passover. A time when our Lord met with his disciples and he knew that they didn't know that there was a cross standing in front on his path. A cross that would cause his trials that we've been talking about, his suffering, the disciples' denials and betrayals and rejection, his death. But also he knew that even though the darkness of Friday would happen, the brightness of Sunday would soon shine. And so we gather here on this Sunday, reflecting back on that darkness with that wonderful hope of our eternity. And so we look backward and we look forward and we say, yes, Jesus, you are our King. If you have placed your faith in trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to this table this morning. But before you come to this table, we need to make sure that we are in right relationship with God and we are in right relationship with one another. If you have any animosity or anything you're holding against God or another person, I encourage you to make that right before God right now. Forgive those who have offended you and be willing to go out to those who you offended and seek their forgiveness. Today, we invite you to come to this table to reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ and to also acknowledge the fact that, yes, he is my King. And because he is my King, I will serve him. Let us pray. These special moments, our Heavenly Father, are to your honor and to your glory. Take us back almost 2,000 years in that time that you lived here on this earth. You walked as we walked. You breathed as we breathed. You suffered as we suffer. And you were led through your life by your Spirit, which also is available to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to look back, which gives us the right perspective to look ahead. Take these elements, Lord, and bless them to our spiritual lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus was meeting with his disciples in the night that before he was betrayed, and he was participating in the Passover meal with them, and he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That same evening, our Lord took the cup, and after giving thanks for it, which we have already done, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this cup is the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink ye of it. The Lord said, this cup is the covenant, my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink ye of it. Please stand with me for our benediction. This past Friday, May and I drove to Flower Mound to visit our daughter and son-in-law and their three kids. They celebrated a little birthday party for me. That's why we had to get there. And as you know, Friday was quite a terrible day weather-wise. But I was born in Buffalo, New York, and I spent all my early days of learning to drive in Michigan, so I was not afraid of the weather. And going up there, we had no problem. And coming back, LBJ was a sheet of ice, and it was really kind of deadly and dangerous. And so at La Prada, coming back home, there was all the lanes were shut but one. And so I got off at La Prada and going around Cracker Barrel. And I just said to May, I know my way around Dallas pretty well, don't I? And just as I was slowing down at that light, the car started going like, you know, kind of like how it does on everyone else's car except someone from the north. And I realized then that I was out of control, and unless you know, something were to happen, I regained control. God had cleared a great area around us, and I was able to stop before I slid through the intersection. But reflecting back on that, I think that really demonstrates my life and my relationship with God. Just when I think I have everything under control, I can begin to slide, and I begin to lose control. We need to make sure that we keep God as our King, and we depend on Him even when we feel like we have everything under control. Let's do that this week. Let's focus on that, shall we? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for reminding us that You are King, that You are Almighty God, that You are sovereign, that You are in control. We pray today, Lord, that we might totally depend on You as we live our lives this day and throughout this week. Strengthen our relationship with You. Strengthen our relationships with one another. Transform our character, Lord, so that the things that we do through word or action might truly reflect Your presence in each one of our lives. Now may the grace of God, Your love, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah, thank the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.